because the adoption of breast conservation has been relatively slow, people have made the assumption that surgeons either are not in favor of breast conservation or are inappropriately advising patients. And along those lines, a number of states passed legislation stating that patients had to be given written materials about breast-conserving therapy. So to really look at how these decisions are made in collaboration with Steve Katz at the University of Michigan, we did a population-based study of women with ductal carcinoma in situ, stage 1 and 2 breast cancer, where we used the SEER registries from Detroit and Los Angeles to identify women within an average of 6 months after diagnosis, so at a time when they would have fairly active memory of what went on during the treatment process. In that patient sample, we saw that about 70% of women were treated with breast-conserving therapy, so numbers are up compared to historical studies. But when we asked patients who made the decision about surgery, you, your surgeon, or you and your surgeon in collaboration, we saw a highly statistically significant correlation with greater patient involvement in the decision-making process translating to higher mastectomy rates. And patients could vocalize that in response to a question, did your surgeon recommend a treatment to you? Overwhelmingly, they said the surgeons recommended breast-conserving therapy. And when we asked patients what was driving their decisions, there were two big things. One was concern about recurrence. And since it's always been very clear that distant recurrence with mastectomy and breast conservation is the same, I think this is a local recurrence issue. And the second thing was radiotherapy, concerns about the use of radiotherapy. And probably the most alarming thing that came out of this study to me, when we asked patients a series of true-false questions to assess their knowledge that they would need in the decision-making process, only 50% of them could correctly answer the question, survival after my chances of surviving after breast-conserving therapy and mastectomy are equal. So I think what this tells us is that, number one, we are not clearly getting our message across to patients, and they are choosing what they perceive to be a safer or more aggressive cancer treatment. And so this idea, which we have endorsed of shared decision-making and involving the patient in the decision, well, that's certainly a good idea and one which I endorse. In order to be involved in the decision, they need to have an appropriate understanding of the key facts. And our study would suggest that that's still a problem.
That's fascinating. Was there any correlation with either age or how aggressively they were getting information outside of their doctor?
Well, when we looked in a separate paper at sources of medical treatment information, and they were fairly frightening because patients were equally likely to get their information from movies or television as, for example, from their primary care provider physician. They, of course, did use, you know, some internet sources and written materials, but there were a lot of non-valid information sources. I'm trying to think if we truly analyzed age as a separate variable. I can't say that we did, although that's something that it would be easy enough to go back and look at. We did look at race and found that this was true for women of all races.